Hey, dude, this dog like stinks, man. Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Welcome, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up? Are you hot?
I am sweating, and I'm sweltering, and I'm doing all the things you do when you're in the heat. Welcome to episode 302 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 27th, 2021 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. And Barbara, this week I'm calling Snohomish a Tucson tribute town because it was 106 yesterday. It's 110 expected today and 112 expected for us for tomorrow. And then it's going to go down to 91, and I think I'm going to be grateful. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's miserable.
I know. I love the 90s now.
I don't know how you do it. I just can't imagine how you do it.
Well, I can't imagine how you do it with humidity, because the only way I can do 105 and over is that it's a dry heat.
A dry heat. Well, you know, we haven't had rain for 12 days, so it's pretty dry out there. I'm waiting for my plants to shrivel up and die. But I did water them. I'm trying to water them every morning. But you know what's really good at absorbing water? The absorber towel. The absorber towel from DogLoversTowel.com is changing my world, and I think you should know about it. The absorber feels like a magic eraser, and a chamois had a baby, but you use it like a sponge. Get it wet, blot off the pet, squeeze the water down the drain, and repeat. It's like magic. Dogs dry more quickly because they start out drier. Saves laundry costs because I'm not washing any more terry cloth towels. Saves space, too, especially for mobile and house call groomers. Just soak them in vinegar and water between pets. To clean the absorber, toss it in the wash and let it air dry. Then wet it when you're ready to use it again. I cut them in half to make them easier to wring out. You can find the absorber towel at DogLoversTowel.com. And if you use GroomPod as the coupon code when you place your first order, you will get 10% off. This week on the GroomPod, we're talking Scotty grooming tips, alpha hydroxy, and tips to keep cool. So, Barbara, how was your week?
Oh, it was a good week. It was, we had a little break in the temperature, got under 100 for a couple of days. Always goes back up, but we get a little respite. And I have a fabulous new client, Susie.
Oh, do tell.
This man just moved to Tucson, and he has 4 Scotties. And he's a former breeder. You know, his dogs are all finished champions, all 4 of them. And you know what? They're fat.
They're fat?
I was shocked.
Oh,
they're
my.
They're fat.
Oh.
They're fat. They, you know, like, and they were so overgrown. The poor guy, he just did this massive move from, like, Tennessee or wherever he was to Tucson, like, pretty much on his own. And his life, you know, has been totally discombobulated for 2 or 3 months. And he's really neglected the dogs, and he felt bad about that. They had a brush out in baths, but no grooming. But they looked like hedgehogs. I mean, they look like big, hairy footstools. They were so wide. I was shocked.
That's crazy.
Just like all other pet owners do, he brushes it off as it's kind of a type.
Oh, like a body type? Like they're big boned?
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, they're built like a footstool. You know, it's the footstool body type. No, I don't know what he called it. He had a name for it and everything.
Way to validate yourself.
Yeah, way to validate. So, you know, like, anyway, he loves his dogs, and he was looking around for a groomer that would do a proper Scotty breed, and he happened to run into a real estate agent who's a former client of mine with Scotties.
Nice.
And so she referred him to me, and I assured him we could do a nice trim on it. And we did all four. We did two on Wednesday and two on Friday. And I taught Dave, the groomer, how to do a Scotty head. Well, actually, I sent Dave home with the $50 grooming book from the Scottish Terrier of America Club. This book will nail your Scotty grooming, and it's expensive. But $50 is less than you would pay someone like Scott Wasserman to give you a private lesson. And it's got beautiful diagrams that diagrams the top of the head and the relationship to the ears and the ears. And I mean, it's just really well done. And he studied. He did his homework. He came in, and then with a little bit of direction from me, he just nailed those Scotty heads. By the time he did his second dog on Friday, he was so proud, and I was so proud of him, I was in tears, Susie.
Congratulations, Dave and Barbara. It's really cool because you pretty much created him, I mean, as a groomer.
I pretty much did create him as a groomer, and even though he's gone on to learn from other people and some of the things he had to unlearn from kind of crappy jobs and stuff, but he's always maintained the value system that I taught him.
For you guys who don't know, Dave worked for Barbara many years ago as a bather, prepper, do-it-all guy.
And then I taught him to groom, like bit by bit, started him trimming feet and doing sanitaries, and then we just moved up into clip downs, and we moved up into breed trims, and I really did shape him and shape his beginnings.
And as all good babies and children do when they grow up, he moved away, but now he's back.
Now he's back, and he works for me. He works with me one day, and he works on his own another day, because he's such a good groomer, I can just let him, you know, he can do big dogs that I can't do. So my service, my business can now take dogs way over the size that I can handle. So that's great. Oh, and my God, Susie, we had this lady fail to show up. She called me last week, and we had this long conversation. She had a pit bull that needed its nails done real bad. So this is one of these kind of people that just can't call and make an appointment. She had to tell me the story about her adopting this pit bull and that, you know, she knew that the breed had a bad reputation, but this guy is just a pussycat and that he saved her life, saved my life during the pandemic, and on and on and on. Just soaking up my time.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there on the phone nodding and going along with her, and finally nailed her down to an appointment for Wednesday morning at 8:30, and she didn't show. And she didn't respond to anything, and so I let it go. Well, then she calls me on Friday, and she says, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, this was actually last week on Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but a week, you know, like 10 days ago. So she says, I had sun poisoning.
Oh, sun poisoning?
Sun poisoning.
Huh.
Well, the story is, she's not a real well person, kind of like overweight and, you know, doesn't get around well. And
not running marathons and swimming in meets.
Right, not running marathons. And she goes out in the middle of the day at 117 heat and tries to pick up poop in her backyard. I'm going to go scrape the poop.
Oh.
I guess she recognized it was probably real well dried out. That's the good news about it's a dry heat.
Very true.
It dries up all the dog poop, and then it's really easy to rake up. So she's out there scraping up dog poop and apparently collapsed in some, and I don't know, she must have emailed her cousin-in-law or something, and somebody came over and, quote, found her. And she was sick for 3 days, vomiting and all this kind of stuff, and had to use a walker inside, all wobbly. And so it's really heat stroke.
Heat stroke,
it's
yeah.
Not, the sun isn't a poisoning agent, but it does, but heat stroke is a deadly, serious, yeah. I did it as a child, horseback riding one time.
Ooh, I did it at the fair. I dropped like a rock.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah, I don't ever want to do that.
I didn't drop until I came home, but I think I was taken to the hospital. It was pretty bad. So she comes in, and the pit bull is the fattest thing I've ever seen. When do you have a pit bull that looks like it has a shrunken head?
Oh, no.
You know the shrunken head syndrome I talk about?
Like he's wearing shoulder pads.
Yeah, like his head is like from another dog.
Yes.
You know, he's got this sweet little face and this giant fat body.
Oh, no.
And macaroni nails.
Oh, boy.
And so...
Well, that's kind of gratifying, though. I like taking those down.
I didn't take them. Dave did it. And I charged her. I said, I had told her $10 to $15, depending. Well, Dave's on the floor trying to do these dog's nails, sweat pouring off his brow. The dog was pretty good for the front nails, but the back nails, it was like a goat or something, you know, like, yeah, I just stayed out of the room. I stayed in the back doing whatever I was on. I was drying a dog or something, you know, I'm doing that. And Dave's struggling out there. And so, but my policy on toenails is that whoever, you know, like, get cash, and whoever does the nails keeps all the money.
I like that.
You know, so I think that's a nice little perk. If you got to stop your job and go out and do nails, you should at least get to keep the money. So that's my policy on nails. And she paid him $40.
Oh, that was nice.
So that was nice. So she recognized, I mean, she couldn't miss the hardship of it because she was sitting and holding the dog's head in front while David's trying to do the nails on the floor. It was quite a little experience, but the dog was gentle, and Dave wasn't the least bit afraid because he has an American Bulldog.
Oh.
It looked like a pig with a pit bull.
Oh, that's sad.
It was poor thing, you know.
It's going to end up all lumpy with fatty lipomas everywhere as it ages, and that's not cool either. So I have to tell you the story about slicing my finger.
Oh, yeah.
I put the picture up on our discussion group, but as many of you know who have seen me before, and those of you who do not will just have to take my word for it, I cannot have a discussion without gesticulating every different direction, flailing my arms, dancing around. I'm very physical in everything I do, including my discussions, even when there's no one in the room. I was moving my clipper vac around, and it was irritating me because it's underneath my grooming table, and I had to shift it around and empty it out and vacuum it out, and it was not coming. It was stuck behind my anti-fatigue mat, and I got mad, and I yelled at it, and I flung my arms up in the air, and my Evolution shears, my fabulous, super-duper sharp Evolution shears, hang slightly open in my rack.
No.
And I went straight up into my straights between the two blades.
Oh.
On top of it, I'm a bleeder, not a clotter. There's blood all over the inside of the white trailer. I'm just trying to leave. I'm trying to go to work. I'm late as usual, and I'm now having my own personal bloodletting inside of the trailer, and I cannot take the paper towel off because it's just pouring out. I'm not really sure if I need a stitch or not, but it's not going to matter because I'm not going to go get a stitch at this moment. I've got two dogs to do. So I took a Band-Aid and I cinched it closed really tight, and it bled through the Band-Aid for 2 days. 2 days it bled through the Band-Aid, but it kept it nice and clean, and I'm current on my tetanus shot. And now I have a really badass scar on my little pinky. It's so neat. But I'm happy to say that no harm, no foul.
I'd rather have a tattoo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a scar's kind of cool.
Tattoo or scars? I'll take a tattoo.
I can make up all kinds of neat stories about it.
I have scars from dogs scratching me, all crisscrossing all of my arms.
I actually noticed a fair amount of that in the sun the other day when I was standing outside in that blistering heat. Man, I don't like the regular heat. I'm complaining at like, yeah, I really don't like the heat. I don't do well in the heat. And I'm totally worried about having dryers running in the trailer in the heat. So I'm just, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but that's kind of absorbing my whole world. But when I got home yesterday, it was 106 degrees and my horse is black. Generally not a cooperative bather, however, but I threw a halter on her and dragged her up by the house and got my hose out, and I shampooed the heck out of my horse. I gave her a nice, she looked like I Love Lucy with all her foam on her and everything. I used that stupid mane and horse mane and tail shampoo, which I absolutely do not like, but it worked fine. I have a big enough bottle, so I was able to just glob it on my hand and kind of work it through. And oh, she had such a nice time. She wouldn't let me do her head. I thought she was going to pull the fence post out, but everywhere else from the neck down, she just loved it. And it eventually got to nice cool water. And I thought, well, I'll just probably bathe the dogs in cool water too. But I don't bathe her very often because I don't have a hot wash rack. But on a day like yesterday, it was just perfect. Today, though, I'm not going out there and washing that horse again. She can hide underneath the trees because it's going to be too dang hot. I do have a couple dogs to groom, a couple golden retrievers later. Not looking forward to that. But I did get a kind of a blow to my client base recently. I don't usually lose dogs to people moving away. I mean, occasionally it happens, but for the most part, the people that I'm servicing are older and they're established, and they may go from their own personal house to an assisted living, but I'm not dealing with a ton of the younger people. Well, I lost my Portuguese water dog. It's moving to Idaho. I'm so sad.
Why?
The dog is really, really active, and the people are not active, and it's driving them crazy. And it's picking on the old, my heart dog, Boomer the Lab. It's really annoying Boomer all the time.
Oh, so the dog is moving to a new home.
Yes, daughter. Luckily, the daughter's home, so I may actually get to see her again, and it'll be fine. But it's still, that's a big chunk of money I'm losing every 3 weeks by having to lose that dog. I'm kind of sad about that.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm sad for you. I know how it is, how hard it is to lose those big ticket dogs. And that's why I'm so thrilled to have these four Scotties, because he not only wants to get them groomed every 6 weeks, he wants every 3 week bath and tidies.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If I can just find a way to make his commuting the least, I've already given him the very best route to have less traffic, and that helped. But I need to make his driving back and forth the easiest. And I'm thinking about maybe if he can handle all four dogs at once, Dave could do the bath and tidy on one of his days, and we could just do it in the morning and call when done. It'll save one trip anyway.
Yeah, you want to work with your customers like that. I mean, I'm a service-oriented person, and that's how I make my money.
I am service-oriented, too, and I very much want to be this guy's groomer. And he's fine with my prices.
Well, that's a plus.
I charged him $85 each for the first two. You know, it was like carving a Scotty out of a hedge. That was, you know, it wasn't just resetting the pattern. The coats were thick, you know.
I cannot wait to hear about this. This is going to be really fun. But let's hear from Best Shot, and then we'll come back with our first appointment, which is all about Scotty grooming.
Groom Pack. Let me tell you about the newest thing from Best Shot's Ultramax Pro line. I'm seriously stoked about these products. First up is Ultramax Hair Hold Spray. It's a mindfully created aerosol-free styling spray. It's flexible and can be layered on for a stronger hold. It's quick drying and has the Ultramax Delicate Sweet Pea fragrance. Next up is my favorite new product in a long time. It's called the Max, and I love it to the max. It's a fragrance-free Ultra Concentrate conditioner and detangler. It's so concentrated that one small bottle makes 10 quarts. It reduces drying time, extends manageability, and aids you in achieving optimal coat performance. Mats and tangles brush away more easily, and it turns your recirculator into a de-shedding machine. Just a few drops in the final rinse or spray it on and dry it in. It's amazing. Check it all out at ultramaxpro.com and see why Barbara and I are so excited. That's ultramaxpro.com. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor and order some Max and Hair Hold Spray today. For over 30 years, Best Shot has been making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time, made from the best stuff on earth. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Barbara and I both enjoy a spunky terrier, and a Scottish terrier is the spunkiest of all of them. As a matter of fact, they embody what it is to be a terrier. This can present a challenge at grooming time, but once you get a good one, you too will fall in love with these crazy little terriers. So the first line in the AKC book, Barbara, about terriers or on their webpage says, a solidly compact dog of vivid personality. And that's true, isn't it?
Yes, yes. They're very present, and they will get mouthy. But, of these four Scotties that we did, the two that we did the first day, which are kind of the grandmother and the mother of the other two, they were a handful, but not mouthy. They were just struggling a lot with the grooming, and they were so grown out that it was hard to get the snap-on comb through the coat.
That thick?
That thick. It was that thick. And one of them had a coat that was like slightly on the kind of greasy side. And we'll be working with that as we go along. But you kind of discover things when you do the first groomings. But they were what you call a handful. And believe me, if you've ever tried to take a Scotty that has grown out like a hedge for like 14 weeks or whatever, it's a real challenge to set that all back. You know, the Scotty groom is not a difficult groom, but to transform a hedge into a Scotty, it takes a bunch of work. For me, it was just an act of sculpting that I had to do like in pieces. I did a rough out, and then I did a rough finish, and then I did some more work on some parts. But as I was doing these Scotties, I was thinking about what I could say to groomers that have difficulty capturing the look of this breed, because people complain that pet groomers are making their Scotties look like schnauzers.
And Scotties have one of the coolest haircuts, one of the most
personality-filled
haircuts.
There's a number of things that can go wrong. They can get a schnauzer clip where they take off too much, or they can get kind of a modified cocker clip, which looks like a hula skirt kind of all the way around.
Right.
And then hula skirts around the ears.
I've seen that.
And so my first tip is that the tufts on Scotty ears are very much smaller than you might think. You don't leave that much on the Scotty ear. Those tufts are just coming from the inside of the ear out to about a third.
The whole backside is shaved,
the
right?
The whole backside is shaved, and the inside of the outside of the ear, right? The inside of the outside of the ear, that's all shaved and that's all clean. So that whole line of the outer edge of the Scotty ear is very clean and well-defined, and the whole back of the ear, I mean, and it's only just a little bit towards the front of the ear that's left there. And then you take the ear and you fold it in half from the tip to the base, and you cut it flush. Not just out here, cut some off. You cut it flush to the outer edge of the ear. Everything that goes, you know, you fold it carefully, and then everything that's beyond the back of the ear where you've cleaned it off, you cut that off. And it just leaves this little tuft inside, and that's the proper way to groom the Scotty ear. And you can also adjust how much tuft you leave to how large or small the Scotty ears are. These particular Scotties have very short ears, so I took more off to show more ear.
I have All a Scotty right? that has mule ears.
Well, then you would want to leave, yeah, you would want to leave a little bit up higher.
Okay.
You know, but you can, if you take from the inside of the ear and you cut from a third of the way down and up and you clean that off, that's pretty much what you want to do.
Okay.
And then that third becomes your kind of guideline for setting one of my pet peeves are Scotties that have hair that are like little hula skirts all around the ears.
Even on the back?
Even on the back. Oh, yeah. I've got one that lives across the street from me. I told you, didn't I tell you about that?
You told me it was bad.
I met Stella the Scotty across the street, who not only is a wild child, but she has totally wrong haircut, and I never even told him I was a groomer because the dog was too out of control.
Run away. Just turn and run from that one.
Good luck. Well, I hope you find a good groomer. Okay. So the other thing is the skirt that's left up too high. So there's a tendency in doing the Scotty skirt to leave it up at about the same height above the shoulder as you would a cocker skirt. But the truth is, you come down very close and very tight on the Scotty shoulder, all the way down tight from the neck down to the elbow.
Trying to show the muscling?
Trying to show that muscling. If you look at pictures of Scotty, you'll see that you can actually see their shoulders. In fact, what I do is that I rough that all out with one blade length. I never, ever use a 10 blade on a Scotty pattern. It's almost impossible to blend that in and to not leave a line and to not leave a bulge and all of that. So I use equivalent of a 5 or a 6 blade. Or a 7 if it's summertime. On these dogs, I started basically with the purple snap-on comb on my Figura. The purple snap-on comb. Then I went back over the side of the neck and down the shoulder, what we would call the flat work area, and I took that all down with the closest red comb on my Figura. And then for the chest, for the throat, I went in reverse up underneath the chin and up the sides of the face. And then when I'm doing the body, that place where you stop on the shoulder, that pretty much defines how far down you're going to bring the skirt. But you don't dig in and then leave the skirt. You bring it down, and as you come down, you gradually lighten your pressure. You start to skim. So you're coming down as far as your line is, but you're skimming. And if you have trouble with your skirt or your hips are starting to sort of bulge out, take a snap-on comb and just shorten that. And it doesn't have to be just like one up from whatever you used on the body. And just shorten over the hips and shorten over the skirt. And that will blend it in because there should be no bulging of the line. It should be like a horseshoe all the way back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
A horseshoe around the shoulders and then just horseshoe line all the way back. There's no puffed out area.
So like it's falling straight from the body?
Right. Straight.
Got it.
And like right behind the front leg, you want to take it in a little bit more there so that when the dog moves, you actually see the movement of the front.
Got it.
You know, and you can do that a little bit in the flank area too, so that you can see the movement of the front. It's not a caterpillar trim. You know what I'm saying?
Not a Pekingese.
It's not a Pekingese. It's not a caterpillar trim. And then on the chest, you want to go down to the chest bone and then follow the line of the growth of the hair up the neck and be pretty close on the throat and the neck area going down to the chest.
So you use the cowlicky spots on the side to guide?
Yeah, to guide your change of direction. And I even go in on that cowlicky area where the growth changes from going outwards to coming around the neck. I trim that real flat with my thinning scissors. I like to make really nice straight lines out of that. It's a finishing touch that just suggests you know what you're doing. So another pet peeve I have are the tails.
What's it supposed to?
It's a pencil tail. It's a pencil tail. It is not a carrot tail, although their tail might actually be broader at the base. You don't leave extra hair at the bottom, and you don't leave hair on the back. It's not a flag.
So do you go up the underside of the tail with the same comb you've used on, like, the jacket? Or do you go shorter than that?
I go shorter.
Okay.
I go with the red comb all the way up the tail.
All right.
And on the sides. And then the same length as I do on the body, I do on the top of the tail.
Some of those Scotties have really long tails.
Yeah, these Scotties had really short tails. Ooh. These had the shortest tails ever. It wasn't good that they were fat. You know, it just made them look fatter. Short ears, short tail, and really wide set. You know, and they're finished champions, and so I believe it. And, you know, like, this is funny. We were laughing at my customer. He was talking to me about what a good front the little, there's three female dogs and one male. He talked to me about what a good front the male had. And he said, if I felt it, you know, I would know what I was feeling. And fat. Although that dog was a little bit less obese than the others, and cute as a button, and they really did look cute, you know, swishing their way out the door. And the guy didn't compliment the grooming. We spent hours. We looked at the book. We double-checked our work. We tried to get it. I wanted to hear him say, best pet grooming ever, but nah.
Alas.
He said, nope. They're clean. They look like Scotties. It's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I said, okay. But that's the thing. People, friends, groomers, you don't have to put out a show groom. What you have to do is make the Scotty look like a Scotty. And those little tips about the ears, and, you know, they do have really long eyebrows.
Yeah, you haven't any tips for those?
Well, just let them grow.
Okay.
You don't let the whole eyebrow get bushy. You really do nice and tight up to the corner of the eye, and then you curve a little bit from the corner of the eye to where you've left it long, but it's really the ears, the top of the head. My recommendations are, if you're serious about wanting to knock the Scotty groom out of the ballpark, get the book that the National Breed Club offers and cough up the money, because it's really a great reference. If you're not, at least do things like sculpt the shoulders, bring that skirt down, clip the tail, close up the back of the tail, do the ears all the way clean on the back and the outside edge, and then you'll have a more Scotty-looking Scotty.
Excellent advice. I love those tips. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Everybody's hands are shaped differently. Mine certainly are. It can be hard to find the perfect shear, but there is a solution. Evolution shears are fully customizable with fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I like the double swivels best. They are all designed to prevent the repetitive stress injuries that occur as we groom. Evolution uses high-quality materials, and the shears come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers. There's a small learning curve, but the staff at Evolution will guide you through. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears at most grooming shows, but if you're not going to a show, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair. Be sure to ask for Chris. She's the cat's pajamas. Ron and Abby are super cool too. But wait, mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you'll receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
What is our back-to-school segment about today?
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about alpha-hydroxy acids. And we've addressed this before, but it was a long time ago. And what happened, what brought my attention back to this topic was that I was on the shampoos in the grooming industry page, Facebook page, and they were talking about machete. And somebody asked, you know, like, what are the magic ingredients, right?
Right.
Right. What is the science? So somebody else said, magic ingredient is alpha hydroxy acids.
Oh, well.
Oh. Well, news to me.
Excellent.
And so that was a little bit misinformative, a little bit not so true. And I wanted to discuss what alpha hydroxy acids are and are not. What they are not ingredients per se, although they're used as ingredients. But the term alpha hydroxy acids refers to a family of water-soluble chemicals that occur naturally as components of fruit, sour milk, and sugar cane.
Really?
Now, they can be obtained from natural sources or they can be created synthetically. There's several of them, but there's three that are common. And those common AHAs are glycolic acid, lactic acid, and citric acid. And in terms of their strength of acidity, alpha hydroxy acids are much milder than strong industrial chemical acids like sulfuric acid. So they're not going to cause a lot of damage. AHAs, that's their nickname, alpha hydroxy acids. They're mostly used in dermatology and skincare products to gently exfoliate the skin to get rid of dead tissue and create a new vibrant skin surfaces. So they're used as chemical peels. You see women that go in and they get a face peel and then they have to wear globs of sunscreen for days and
And their face is always red.
Their face is red, and they wear a big hat and all of that stuff, yeah, because they had their skin peeled. Well, you can do things at home that are not as risky, but whenever you do kind of an exfoliating with an alpha hydroxy acid, you want to use a sunscreen afterwards because it makes your skin much more susceptible to sunburn and UV ray damage. They exfoliate by degrading the glue that holds the skin cells together. Now, think of this. If they are degrading the glue that holds skin cells together, would they likely also degrade the glue that holds hair cuticle cells together?
You would think so, because they're pretty similar.
Because they're pretty similar. You know, the stratum corneum is cornified skin, you know, protein, pretty much cornified keratin, pretty much like the hair is, but the hair is just more simple in its outer coating. So I don't think that alpha hydroxy acids are used as a de-shedding. They might be found in a de-shedding formula. They're found in many shampoos. For example, citric acid is found all over the place in the tiniest little amounts that are used to bring the pH down to the level that the formulator thinks all the ingredients are going to be happy and functioning. And you know what? That formulator, he doesn't care what the pH of your dog is. He cares about what the pH of his product is, that the product is going to be the most effective. pH affects how the ingredients interact with each other. So it's going to lower that to like somewhere in the 5.5 to 6.5 area by adding a little pinch of citric acid. It's usually listed as one of the last ingredients in the bottle when you get your ingredients listed. If you were going to use alpha hydroxy acids as a main ingredient, it would have to be in the top six ingredients. And you don't find them there. In Show Season's results rinse, they've used citric acid as an acidifier in a finishing rinse to close the hair cuticle. And indeed, these alpha hydroxy acids will close and tighten the hair cuticle and make the hair cuticle a little bit more smooth and reduce friction, and in that way improve the ability to remove dead hair, but not by itself equal to what it's like to use a silicone product or a wheat protein sealed by silicone product. The acidity is not in and of itself going to facilitate a total big de-shed. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it just seems to me that there's a lot of other products that do that function.
There's a lot of other ingredients that do assist.
Yes.
Yeah, that do assist. And so I went on, I don't even know whether I commented on this misinformation, because this misinformation about the alpha hydroxy acids being the secret to de-shedding shampoos, it's used by one manufacturer as a marketing point, a mechanism for sales. And also, sometimes you see alpha hydroxy acids, they should, in a true list, you should not get the word alpha hydroxy acids. In a true ingredient list, you would get glycolic acid, citric acid, or lactic acid would be there. And by the way, lactic acid is a good moisturizing ingredient that's used in some products. But alpha hydroxies, sometimes you see just alpha hydroxies listed.
That's like saying a coconut-based surfactant, isn't it?
Well, kind of, yeah. But just saying, not even using the full name of the family. The full name of the family is alpha-hydroxy acids. Well, people are afraid of acids. So what the marketing type does, they just call them alpha-hydroxies. Exactly, exactly. That's the feeling I get. Yeah. Wah, wah.
Okay.
So just notice that.
Anything else that we should be looking for with that, other than knowing that if they're using that term, it's not a complete ingredient list? Because that's pretty important.
Yeah, it's not. They're just using it. They're just using the term as a marketing mechanism to sound like they've got something special in there that others don't have.
Well, they can't fool us here on the Groom Pod. No stinking way.
Okay, that's good enough.
We love our sponsors, like Show Season. Let me tell you about my favorite Show Season products. True Tearless is a hypoallergenic, scent-free shampoo that really cleans and never ever leaves a fragrance. Pair it with the Hypo Conditioner and you have a winning smell-free combination. Results Rinse is an after-bath rinse that lightly conditions and protects without adding any weight to scissored coats. It aids in drying time and it helps with brush-outs too. Show Season carries Barbara's Essential Oil Blends and Mellow Pet Shampoo, Blueberry products, Delicious Colognes, Hemp products, a feline line, spa and natural options, and so much more. You can find Show Season animal products at all shows and through lots of distributors like Cascade Grooming Supplies. And you can check out all their products at their website, thebestpetshampoo.com, or call 678-382-0218. Make every season a show season. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Barbara, it's freaking hot here. I mean, it's so hot, I don't even know how to deal with it. So I thought I'd ask the expert, by golly, Barbara, in Tucson, where it's generally over 100 degrees part of the year. I can't even imagine how you deal with this. I am so miserable. I worry about the dogs. And, I just need help.
Help, I know. Hey, you know, I saw on Facebook a question. Who would sleep in an air-conditioned room with fans on? And the answer is everyone in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. You know, fans are underrated. We have no air conditioning. I guess, actually, they did a little study and less than one-third of the households in the Pacific Northwest have air conditioning. So we have to deal with it with fans, portable fans at that. We don't even have ceiling fans. We have portable fans set up in our windows and aiming at us. And you know what? I do that in my grooming trailer when it's hot. I have all the windows open and I aim a little box fan at myself and the dog. It's counterproductive to my haircuts, but I already have trouble with my haircuts anyway. So we just roll with it. People know they're happy. The dogs are clean and I fix it next time. I wet my head all the time. I thought that was a good way to do it. What do you think of that method?
I don't do that, but I do cooling scarves around my neck. Sometimes it tends to give me like stiff shoulders. And so I reverse them and put more of the fabric in the front. You know, and I saw this girl yesterday. I went through the Raising Cane's chicken tenders place. You know, a great drive-through food source that I use practically on a weekly basis. And they have now some kind of a silly system where they have an actual person outside under a canopy that takes your order on an iPad, a tablet, and runs your charge, and then you just, like, go directly to the second window and get your box of chicken.
Nice.
I noticed that this girl was wearing this thing. It looked like a bulletproof vest, but it had straps on her shoulders. It was this refrigerated chest pad.
Oh my gosh. If I was in Tucson, I'd have to have one.
I bet she's glad. I wanted to ask her how does it work, but I didn't have time because there was a line behind me. See, that company is, they're trying to take care of those employees if they're sticking out there in 107 degree heat.
Good point. Yay for the chicken place.
A little trick that I do in the tub, and I know you can't do it very much with your precious water in a mobile, but I run cool water in the inside of my elbows in the tub. And sometimes when I'm just feeling like really almost overcome with heat, I just go in there and run that on both arms and down the inside of my arm there, because that gets directly to a blood flow and it does seem to cool off quickly. And likewise, the neck scarves and the towels around your neck, those go right to where the blood is flowing, and it helps to cool off your inner temperature that way. I, in the summertime, I have a temperature thermometer that you put to the forehead, and it has an animal option. You do it nice. For body or for animal, and you can get a temperature on your dog, and you can tell that way if your dog is overheating.
In addition, I've got a thermometer that sits on my table so I can make sure that I'm watching how hot it's getting in there.
I have a thermometer over my desk, and it gives me the humidity, too. What's been happening lately, we have a swamp cooler, and then inside, that's a swamp cooler on the roof that comes in through a duct, and it, you know, it does a fairly decent job. But inside, I have two portable large swamp coolers, not as large as the one the groom pod gave me, which is now at home cooling me today as I speak. But they're ones where you put the water in and then it gives you evaporative cooling. Well, what happens is that as the dew point drops for the onset of our monsoon rains, the swamp coolers don't work as efficiently. And another thing you need to know about swamp coolers, in case you get one of these portables for your room, is that they need an output. They need a cracked door or someplace where they can push the hot air out.
So you can't keep everything closed up like an air conditioner.
Yeah, you can't keep everything. You got to have some airflow. Yvonne is really funny because she comes in. The dew point is dropped and the swamp cooler is not being as efficient as before. So what she does is she loads up these two indoor swamp coolers and the place becomes so fucking humid.
Tropical.
It feels like a swamp in there. I think, oh Lord, am I in the bayou?
That sounds way more miserable.
Let's put on some bayou music. I say, Alexa!
That's funny. Oh, well, at least it's not humid here right now. At least it's pretty dry out. We haven't had a lot of rain, but in the grooming trailer, the minute I do a bath, even with cool water, the humidity just goes nuts in there, and I can tell because it raises the temperature, or it appears to raise the temperature.
Well, you know what else I do?
Tell me, please tell me. I'm desperate.
And I might do this. I stopped using the high-velocity dryers that heat up, and I get out the old Chris Christensen Cool Dry, and I also have a Laube small force air dryer. I substitute my favorite dryer for a cooler blowing air dryer that takes a little bit longer but doesn't heat up the place so much.
I use one motor, and then I, on my canine too, and then I switch over to the other motor, and then I switch back to the one motor. But it really, it's not an efficient way to keep it cooler because you're still got warm air trapped in that canister. But I use my handheld and a dryer on cool. And that's how I manage that one, because it doesn't heat up the room. It sufficiently dries the dogs because it's already so hot in there that the air is drying the dogs nicely. It just, it helps me move the hair around and let them get dry faster. My state is now dumping the mask rules. So I have like 10 face coverings. I'm going to use those, get those wet, put those over my head. I worry a little bit about my headphones because they're not waterproof, but I can put it around my neck, even though I hate things around my neck, and kind of let the water drip down a little bit if I get it really soppy. I'm thinking about doing that. Hydration. That's one thing I'm very bad at, is hydration. And
we have started at my shop buying the small 6-ounce bottles of water.
Yeah.
Because you can drink a whole one of those and not set it down and forget it. Or it's in a half an hour, drink a whole one of those. And it seems to have improved our water. Yeah, I'm drinking a ton of water. The other day I went through like 3 of these. What are these?
Those are big.
1-liter bottles. Yeah, 1 liter.
Yeah.
33.8 fluid ounces. 3 of these.
I bet you I sweat out 4 of those in a day. It just pours off me. It just drips in my eyes. The headbands help with that a little bit. Oh, gosh. I'm not looking forward to this at all. I'm going to have to go out there and groom some golden retrievers in the heat. I'm going to park in the shade. It's one of the things about being mobile is I can park in the shade, and hopefully it will be a little better that way. Sometimes I start earlier in the morning so that I can finish earlier in the day and combat it that way. I've canceled some of my late afternoon 4 o'clock appointments because it's too much. That's when I was out there washing that horse, and that lady was probably out picking up poop. I don't want to have a heart attack.
I don't want to have sun poisoning.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So anyway, let's wrap this up today so that I can go face the fears and clean the dogs and get back into... We have air conditioning in one room of the house. The TV and the air conditioning are luckily in the same room. So when I get back, I will go into that room. We've got everything closed off in here. I'm certain I will probably survive, but man, it feels like a daunting task to do these 2 golden retrievers.
The only option would be to reschedule those puppies.
Yeah, I don't have a spot. This is just the way it is. I'm going to go do it. It's going to be fun. Thanks, Barbara, for being here. And you guys, as I get more proficient with my new little toy over here, things will go a little smoother.
They probably don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, they do. I've only mentioned it like 100 times.
You know what? We've got a load of new people from Atlanta
Pet
here. Welcome all you new people. And get used to Susie. She's a little crazy.
Get used to Barbara. She says the F word. But that's why we get along so well and we have so much fun. And we're so glad you guys have joined us. Have a good time grooming, and we'll meet you here next week on the Groom Pod. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, and take good care of yourselves. We love you.